Make sure you're subscribed to Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit that subscribe button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for other podcast listeners to find Issues Etc.
What are the particular comforts of Lutheran theology in practice? Find out in my column in the latest Issues Etc. journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Peter Slayton writes about growing up in a Christianity that was more about him and what he was doing, and finding in the Lutheran Confession a Christianity that focused on Jesus. The free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
The civil rights laws were not passed to allow those boys who identify as girls into the girls' locker room and to play on the girls' sports team. This is turning the civil rights laws upside down.
Abortion is not confined to the first trimester of the pregnancy. That extends to the entire length of the pregnancy and even when the child comes out.
If your pastor is already slipping and preaching and teaching and working in direct revelation into his sermons, it's not going to get better. It's only going to get worse.
If you want to see history through the eyes of the Lord and the things that matter to him and the things that don't, Revelation gives it to us.
While snow blowing our driveways, hardy Minnesotans love to listen to Issues Etc.
It is really one of the most important festivals of the Old Testament. It's just a day, the day of, well, we call it now the Day of Atonement, but maybe we should call it the Day of Covering, where God covers things in blood, and he covers an animal with the sins of the people, and he covers their sins. But did these sacrifices that made up the Day of Atonement, the sacrifice of a bull for the high priest and his family, and for the people of Israel, a sacrifice of a goat for the people of Israel, the scapegoat, did they themselves take away sin, or were they merely a means of applying the forgiveness of sins, one at the cross? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live on this Monday afternoon, February the 1st. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We'll be talking with Dr. Ken Sherb in our weekly series Through the Old Testament in a Church Year. Today, the covering or the atonement in Leviticus chapter 16. A little bit later, Dr. Stanley Kurtz of the Ethics and Public Policy Center in Washington, D.C. joins us to talk about woke education mandates. Then in Hour 2 of Issues Etc., our series The Words of Scripture continues with Pastor Will Whedon, host of The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. Joining us for our weekly series Through the Old Testament in a Church Year, today The Covering or Atonement in Leviticus chapter 16, Dr. Ken Sherb. He has a PhD in church history from Ohio State University. He's director of Evangelism, Missions, Stewardship, and Human Care for the Central Illinois District of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Formerly served as a theology professor at Concordia University in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and as an assistant to the president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and he's author of a CD series of sermons titled The Old Testament Collection, Preaching Christ in the Old Testament During the Church Year. Ken, welcome back.
Good to talk to you again, Todd.
Before we get into our subject today, remind us of what we said last time.
Well, like today, last time, really the last couple of times, we have been focusing on the period of time that Israel spent at Mount Sinai, there in the presence of the holy God. And it was the holiness of God that made the mountain holy, not the other way around. Well, we sinners still live in the presence of the holy God, and we can do that only if he does something for us that we cannot do for ourselves. So, two interviews back, we noted that the most basic thing that God does for sinners is to give us Christ, the prophet like Moses, whom Moses predicted by inspiration of God. And then last time, we talked about the covenant or testament that God gives, and especially at that point did we remember the Exodus 24 sacrifice at the foot of Mount Sinai, burnt offerings and fellowship offerings to the Lord. And Moses took half of the blood of those sacrificed bulls and put it on the altar, and then he sprinkled the other half on the people of Israel. And in that connection, we also recalled a much later passage in the Old Testament, Jeremiah 31, in which the Lord promised to give his people a new covenant or testament. Now, unlike the Ten Commandments, this New Testament that God was talking about would have no rules to break. In fact, its culminating point would be that the Lord would give forgiveness to their iniquities and their sins. He would definitely not remember against them anymore. Now, this New Testament, of course, came about in Christ. As Luther put it, he who stays alive makes a covenant. He who is about to die, though, makes a testament. So when Christ, who is God and man, was about to die, he gave his last will and testament. And in that case, he wasn't just sprinkling blood on the people. He was taking his blood and putting it into their mouths to drink in and with and under wine in the Lord's Supper.
What happens in Old Testament history between our subject last time and our topic today?
Well, really quite a lot. I mean, in the remaining chapters of the book of Exodus, the Lord gave his directions to Israel for the building of the tabernacle, and then Exodus gives the account of the actual building of the tabernacle. And then there's also sandwiched in there the really unhappy account of the horrible, horrible defection of the people while Moses was still up on the mountain. You know, that time when they got Aaron to build them a golden calf and they bowed down to worship that. Well, Moses eventually interceded for the people, and the Lord defined himself at that point and his name, really his name, as the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. So at length, when the tabernacle was completed at the very end of the book of Exodus, the Lord's glory filled it. See, he was still with his people. His saving presence remained with them there at the tabernacle. And then follows the book of Leviticus. And Leviticus essentially tells a great deal about what was going to go on at that tabernacle. I mean, in Leviticus, the Lord laid down procedures for all sorts of offerings and sacrifices. The burnt offering, the peace offering, the meal or grain offering, the sin offering, the burnt offering, and the peace offering. There are all kinds of things. He gave regulations for the priesthood, too, which would come from the tribe of Levi, that tribe that had stood against the golden calf idolaters. And eventually, the Lord in Leviticus set up three big annual feasts, as well as the practice of observing a Sabbath year every 7 years and a Jubilee year every 50 years. And it's in the midst of all that, in the middle really of the book of Leviticus, more or less, chapter 16, that the Lord gives instructions for the most special day and the most special sacrifices and the most special activity of all on the part of the high priest.
What was that activity?
Well, this was the Day of Atonement. It would happen every year on the 10th day of the month of Tishri. I had a teacher in seminary, Dr. Phil Giesler, from whom I learned, by the way, a lot about the Old Testament and how to teach it. And this whole series of interviews is filled with things about the Old Testament that I learned from his instruction, because Phil Giesler was really great at communicating these biblical truths, especially in the Old Testament, to lay people. And so he called this Day of Atonement the day the cover was covered. Now, our word in English, atonement, is really just a made-up word designed to say on its face what was going on here, that God and man, once separate from one another, have been brought back together and placed, well, at one with one another. So atonement is at-one-ment. You could call the Day of Atonement the Day of Pacification or the Day for Turning God's Anger into Love, but for sheer descriptiveness, you just can't beat what Phil Giesler said. It's the day the cover was covered. Now, his teaching on the Day of Atonement, even for lay people, went into all of the day's details, and there were a lot of details on this day. I mean, he went into all this in great intricacy, much more than we're going to be able to do in just a few minutes here. So we are going to concentrate here, Todd, on three animals that were offered on the Day of Atonement, a bull and two goats. and what Aaron and his successor high priests were going to do with these animals.
So here's the account from Leviticus chapter 16, beginning at the 11th verse. Aaron shall present the bull as a sin offering for himself, and shall make atonement for himself and for his house. He shall kill the bull as a sin offering for himself, and he shall take a censer full of coals of fire from the altar before the Lord, and two handfuls of sweet incense beaten small, and he shall bring it inside the veil, and put the incense on the fire before the Lord, that the cloud of the incense may cover the mercy seat that is over the testimony, so that he does not die. And then he shall take some of the blood of the bull and sprinkle it with his finger on the front of the mercy seat on the east side, and on the front of the mercy seat he shall sprinkle some of the blood with his finger seven times. Then he shall kill the goat of the sin offering that is for the people, and bring its blood inside the veil to do with its blood as he did with the blood of the bull, sprinkling it over the mercy seat and in the front of the mercy seat. Thus he shall make atonement for the holy place, because the uncleanness of the people of Israel, and because of their transgressions, all their sins. So he shall do for the tent of the meeting, which dwells with them in their midst of their uncleanness. No one may be in the tent of meeting from the time he enters to make atonement in the holy place until he comes out and has made atonement for himself and his house and for all the assembly of Israel. Then he shall go out to the altar that is before the Lord and make atonement for it, and shall take some of the blood of the bull and some of the blood of the goat and put it on the horns of the altar all around. And he shall sprinkle some of the blood on it with his finger seven times and cleanse it and consecrate it from its uncleanliness of the people of Israel. And when he has made an end of atoning for the holy place and the tent of meeting and the altar, he shall present the live goat. And Aaron shall lay both hands on the head of the live goat and confess over it all of the iniquities of the people of Israel and all their transgressions, all their sins. And he shall put them on the head of the goat and send it away into the wilderness by the hand of a man who is in readiness. The goat shall bear all the iniquities on itself to a remote area, and he shall let the goat go free in the wilderness. So, Ken, you said before we're concentrating on the high priest, a bull, and two goats. What happened with them?
Well, on the Day of Atonement, Todd, the high priest was serving, of course, in the Lord's presence, and that meant not only in the tabernacle in general, but also in the holiest place in the tabernacle. And this was the one day out of the whole year when he, the high priest, and only he, could go into the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle, and then, of course, later on in the temple, with the sacrificial blood. Now, think of the New Testament connections just here alone. The book of Hebrews notes that Christ entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. So see, there's definitely a parallel between Christ and the high priest. This high priest is what is called a type of Christ. Yet Christ went beyond the high priest, because he became also the sacrificial victim. Christ did not just sacrifice animals, he sacrificed himself. Well, on the Day of Atonement, the high priest sacrificed, first of all, the bull, and that was for himself and his family. Now, Todd, on this particular point, the point about the high priest making a sacrifice for his own sins, there is no parallel between the Day of Atonement and the work of Christ, because Jesus, our high priest, the great high priest, had no need to make any sacrifice for any sin of his own. He was in every respect tempted, just like we are, yet he never sinned. So Christ went before God as the one and only Holy One, yet being held responsible for the sin of all of us unholy ones.
Dr. Ken Cherb is our guest. It's our weekly series, Through the Old Testament in a Church Year Today, The Covering or the Atonement. We'll talk more about that Day of Atonement and the other sacrifices right after this.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we continue our trek through St. Matthew with Last Judgment Part 2, Plot to Kill Jesus, Anointing at Bethany, Betrayal and Last Supper, and the Institution of the Holy Eucharist. Join me, Pastor Will Whedon, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
Job saw the city as a wasteland, as if devoid of God, witnessing injustice to the poor by the corrupt, lawlessness of criminals, trafficking of children, blatant immorality, thinking God could not see wicked deeds done in the dark of night. Yet God never abandoned Job, nor his city, groaning for mercy. God is working through the living Redeemer, hands etched with salvation, pointing to the resurrection to come. Join us at lcms.org/citymission to seek peace and shine the light in the city.
Sanctifying your homeschooling with the Word of God. You're listening to Issues, etc.
Our Christian faith is under constant attack, and we must be proactive in keeping our children in the church. At Faith Lutheran School in Plano, Texas, we believe that an education rooted in God's Word is one that stands against the very gates of hell. Nothing in this world is more important. Offering a rigorous classical Lutheran education, we provide in-person and live online remote learning opportunities for preschool through grade 12. To learn more, visit flsplano.org, flsplano.org.
For nearly 140 years, the Lutheran Witness has taught the faith, defended it against error, and shown forth the great treasures of the Lutheran Church and biblical doctrine. We're continuing this legacy by publishing issues and articles that help you see the world from a Lutheran perspective and that teach biblical doctrine and show forth the treasures of God's Word. Visit our website to learn more and how to subscribe, witness.lcms.org. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about the atonement in Leviticus chapter 16 in our weekly series, Through the Old Testament in a Church Year, with Dr. Ken Sherb. He has a PhD in church history from Ohio State University. He's director of evangelism and mission stewardship and human care for the Central Illinois District of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Formerly served as a theology professor at Concordia University, Ann Arbor, Michigan, and as an assistant to the president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. And he's authored a CD series of sermons titled The Old Testament Collection, Preaching Christ in the Old Testament During the Church Year. Find out more about the Old Testament Collection on the Talk on Demand archives page at issuesetc.org or by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. So, Ken, we're about halfway through this process here. What happened on the Day of Atonement after the high priest offered the blood of the bull?
Well, remember, there were also these two goats. So the high priest kills the first of the two goats and brings its blood into the Holy of Holies, very much like he had done with the blood of the bull. Now, in the Holy of Holies, there was the Ark of the Covenant. It was a sort of a box that contained, among other things, and most prominently so, the two tables on which God had written the Ten Commandments. Now, the top, or the cover, of the Ark of the Covenant was made of gold. It was called the mercy seat. And there, on that cover, the high priest sprinkled the blood of the first goat, the sacrifice for the sins of the people, in this case, just as earlier he had used his finger to sprinkle seven times the blood of the bull, which was the sacrifice for his own sins and the sins of his family. Well, now he was doing this with the blood of the goat as an offering for the people's sins. And in so doing, the high priest, if you will, was covering the cover. The cover was the mercy seat, and he's covering the cover with this sacrificial blood. So that sacrificial blood, in effect, came between the high priest, who was representing all the people, and God's law, those commandments inside the ark. And when that occurred, then the law could no longer condemn. The blood of the sacrifice saved the lives of the people when it covered the cover. And the word for that cover, the mercy seat in Greek, was used in the New Testament when John wrote in his first epistle, "If anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation," you could say the atonement covering, or just the cover for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. So on the Day of Atonement, God and man were made to be at one with each other. It was the day of pacification. It was the day for turning God's anger into love, and the blood of that first goat was front and center here.
This is a very important question, Ken. Was this animal sacrifice itself really taking sin away?
Well, no, not in the sense of actually paying for sin. And the book of Hebrews in the New Testament makes this point very amply. It says that the various sacrifices were repeated year after year, and that shows just how ineffectual they themselves would have been at paying for sin. I mean, why would the same sins have to be paid for again and again and again if the first payment really settled things? There's a hymn that says, "Not all the blood of beasts on Jewish altars slain could give the guilty conscience peace or wash away the stain." But the same point that was being made in that hymn stanza that was being made in the book of Hebrews is also shown right back in Leviticus in the Day of Atonement ritual itself, because the very next thing that the high priest did was to deal with sin all over again. Because remember, there were two goats. This second goat now comes into play. The high priest took that second goat and put his hand on its head, confessing the sins of the people and ritually transferring all their sins to that animal. And then a man took that second goat out into the wilderness and lost it there. So all the sin of the people was to be considered gone, like that goat was gone. And again, this is a type of Christ. He is, after all, the Lamb of God who carries away the sin of the world. So, in the words of that same hymn we were just quoting, we sing to this Lamb of God, "My faith would lay her hand on that dear head of thine, where like a penitent I stand, and there confess my sin."
So, the Day of Atonement was not a place for earning the forgiveness of sins, but a place for applying the forgiveness of sins that was earned elsewhere, namely the cross?
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. I mean, think of the big picture. There's only one thing really to be done with sin, and that's get rid of it. And there's truly only one who can get rid of sin, the Lord Himself. He's the only one from whom we can receive holiness. So the Day of Atonement formed an annual reminder that through the shedding of sacrificial blood, God was going to confront sin as only he could. And of course, at length, he did that in Christ. Christ, who shed his own blood, Jesus, the great high priest, became our great sacrificial victim. So the Day of Atonement sacrifices did not in and of themselves pay for sins. They themselves could not pacify God. They could not turn his anger into love. Rather, on the Day of Atonement, God was truly giving, and the people were really receiving the forgiveness, the blessings that God was going to win for them by making atonement through his life and death. So on the Day of Atonement, God's people came to get what they needed the most, the forgiveness of their sins, at-one-ment with God, and thus holiness before God. So there is one respect in which our worship is similar to that of ancient Israel. I mean, we don't have a lot of sacrificed animals all over the place. But where God's word is, there he covers his people in the blood of the crucified and risen Christ. And this is why we come to church week after week, month after month, year after year. We receive God's word and sacraments by faith, and as we do, he is giving us, and we are receiving the blessings once and all won for us by Christ. On account of Christ, and through earthly means, the holy God gives us unholy people what we need most, and that's holiness.
Give us some of your true and false review questions.
True or false? The high priest entered the Holy of Holies only on the Day of Atonement. That's true. It's the only day he went in there, And of course, once he went in, he was invisible to the people. They couldn't see what was going on. They could participate only by faith in what was going on inside. And they knew what was going on inside because God had given his word here in Leviticus. He told them what was going to be happening. So they had faith in God's word to participate in what was going on, even though they couldn't see it. True or false? The bull and the goats were offerings for the sins of the people. False. Not technically. They were really not paying for the sins of the people. Like the Lutheran confessions say, there is one and only one propitiatory sacrifice ever in the history of the world, and that's the sacrifice of Christ. True or false? On the Day of Atonement, the cover was covered. True. The high priest sprinkled the blood of first the bull and then the goat on the cover, on the mercy seat on top of the Ark of the Covenant. And true or false, the Day of Atonement sacrifices themselves paid for sin. Well, I hope you know by now, that's false. We get the forgiveness of sins on account of Christ, but we receive it through his means of grace, and this was really a means of grace in the Old Testament for people to receive that forgiveness.
Why is the ancient Old Testament Day of Atonement important for Christians today?
Well, the Day of Atonement, as we said, came around every year on the 10th day of Tishri, and so it served as an annual reminder that the biggest problem Israel had was not its diet or the environment or economic regress or bad social systems or anything like that. Their problem was sin, and they had only to look in the mirror. And like them, our problem is our sin and guilt before God. So on the Day of Atonement, God and man were made to be at one with each other. It was the day to receive God's forgiveness. And this forgiveness was because of what the Day of Atonement shows in so many ways, the eventual work of Christ who would turn God's anger into love. And one more thing, Todd. I'm reminded of something that I heard from Wallace Schultz, who for years was the associate speaker on the Lutheran Hour. When the Lutheran Layman's League first went to him and asked him to be the associate speaker, he said he went back and he reread and reread and reread Leviticus 16, because he knew that if he was going to have to preach to people week in and week out on the radio, preaching to thousands, even millions of people, he'd better have the atonement straight in his own mind. And I'd say for every Christian, we need to be straight about the atonement.
Dr. Ken Sherb has a PhD in church history from Ohio State University. He's director of evangelism and mission stewardship and human care for the Central Illinois District of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, formerly served as a theology professor at Concordia University, Ann Arbor, Michigan, and is an assistant to the president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He's author of a CD series of sermons titled The Old Testament Collection, Preaching Christ in the Old Testament During the Church Year. Find a link to it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Talk On Demand Archives. Ken, thank you very much.
Just tickled to be with you today, Todd. Thanks.
On the other side, we will talk about some truly horrifying, terrifying ideas that are emerging in Illinois classrooms and being prepared for exportation to the rest of the country soon. Woke education mandates in Illinois next. If you appreciate Issues Etc., our 24/7 music and talk stations, and our daily verse-by-verse Bible study, The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, please include a bequest in your will or trust for these worldwide media resources. Bequests aren't subject to federal tax or capital gains taxes. Ensure your children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren the opportunity to listen by including a bequest in your will or trust for Issues Etc., Lutheran Public Radio, and The Word of the Lord Endures Forever.
Real Reformation Radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Concordia University Chicago is committed to keeping college affordable for all, and especially for LCMS Lutherans. We have scholarships available specifically for students who are LCMS members. This is Dr. Russell Dawn, president of Concordia Chicago, asking you to encourage your student to check out Concordia Chicago at cuchicago.edu. And if you are interested in supporting these scholarships, please find us online at foundation@cuchicago.edu.
Do you know any military veterans in your church or community? Do you have a passion to support and reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Then Operation Barnabas is for you. Called by Christ's love, Operation Barnabas engages, empowers, and equips LCMS faith communities to provide hope, healing, and support to military-connected persons living in their community. Operation Barnabas is a program of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Find out more at lcms.org/armedforces.